this morning. The last couple of times I've spoken, I've preached on prayer, but really kind of looking at our responsibility and our authority in praying for others and praying for situations, and just a sense of that God was leading us in a time of training us, of training our hands for battle, of strengthening us, and just a season of learning to pick our swords, learning to that, you know, that God's word is that sword, and to use it in fighting in the place of prayer. And one of the best ways to do this, fighting in prayer, was about asking God for scriptures. We talked about God bringing to life those words that are specifically for someone or some particular time, so that you're praying that word in that right season. But I realized it kind of assumed that people know how to hear God's voice, which isn't necessarily always that easy or that simple. And I thought today, I felt like God just wanted us to, for some of you, this will be something that's just common to you. It's something you've lived your life doing. But for others of you, it's maybe something completely new or that you're still learning and growing in. And so hopefully there's still something for everyone as we just kind of go through, well, not really steps to hear God's voice, but more principles for living that will help you to hear God's voice. So in the Amplified Version, it says in John 10:27, "My sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me." So the ability to hear from God is not for the select few. It's totally essential for every single one of us for that to have an intimate and a dynamic relationship. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be someone who just turns up on a Sunday, sings some songs, and then goes about the rest of my life as if it had no consequence whatsoever. There just would be no point. I may as well just get on with enjoying whatever the world is doing. But if I'm going to live this life, then it's so much more interesting, it's so much more exciting, it's so much more fulfilling if you're doing that in intimacy with God, which looks like talking to him, it looks like hearing from him, it looks like being led by him, so that you're right where he wants you, in the right moment, at the right time. So before we get into the how, let's just kind of, you know, just recap, how does God speak to us? What are the different ways that God speaks? So we know that God speaks through his word, and like I said, all of the Bible is God's word. It's all of his word. So we can just go and read it to get some of that. But it's not necessarily going to be for us at that moment, at that time. And so we talk about living the Logos word, which is that's the all of scripture, and then the Rhema words, which are those where you're reading and all of a sudden something just jumps off the page and just speaks so directly into what's going on. And they're the words that we're talking about. Those Rhema words where God just speaks to you and you know it's for you. Then we have hearing God's still small voice, which is not really so much hearing a voice, it's not an audible thing. But just as you pray and as you wait on God, maybe you get a Bible verse come to mind. Maybe it's the words of a song. Maybe it's a reference. Some people get the map reference. Okay, it's chapter this, whatever, you know, and they look it up and it totally speaks to them. So we get that, you know, and that's a harder one to learn, is that listening to that little voice inside, things coming to your mind. It's similar to that. We also have hearing God through impressions and sensing. So for some we might get words, but others are much more visual. We'll get a picture in our mind. Or maybe it's a sensation in your body. If you're praying, you know, there's lots of people who are gifted in healing, that they'll get a physical sensation in their body that's the Holy Spirit telling them, okay, there's someone here with backache I need to pray for. It's God speaking through our senses, and those things can be tuned in through every one of our senses. Then we have angels. That still happens today. Not that I've had one yet, but angels do turn up to give messages. It's definitely still something in the world today. And then there's even just recognizing God's voice through creation. You know, I'm someone who loves to be out in the woods and off on my own, and it's a place I definitely hear God speak, even just in that rest and in that quiet and in seeing just the incredible beauty of creation. It speaks to us of God's character. God also speaks through visions, which is more like a movie in your mind, where you're fully awake and aware, but you see not just a picture, but something playing out. God speaks to us through dreams. I think God speaks a lot through this, and we just have forgotten how to listen. We just kind of put it down to cheese or whatever. But I think this is a really lost, you know, like there are lots of people who do tune in, but I think all of us could do this more, and I think it's a really cool one. We'll look at more another day. Because it's so easy, you go to sleep and say, well, will you speak to me tonight? And I didn't have time through the day, but I can do it while I'm sleeping. It's fantastic. Anyway, God speaks also through trances. Can't say this has ever happened to me, but where you're fully and utterly, you know, out of it to the world around you, but God is, you know, showing you something, you know, in that dreamlike state. There's also hearing the voice through godly counsel and fellowship with others. This, you shouldn't be discounted. You know, as we speak with those who are mature Christians or those who are just walking and doing life with us, God will speak through other people, and we would do well to pay attention to them. And then, of course, God uses our circumstances. We'll know that, you know, often what's happening in the natural will speak to us of something that's happening in the spiritual. Sometimes in a very general sense, other times more painfully. The other day I was praying over a situation and felt, you know, it was just this real sense of the enemy, and I literally stood in a wasp's nest and it got stung to bits, and I could just hear God saying, you've kicked a hornet's nest. Okay, come. You know, it can be something very, very literal that God uses to speak about what's going on. And then we have got the audible voice of God, which I don't think I've heard the audible voice of God, but I know there are those here who have. So some of these ways are rare. They don't happen every day. They're not what you expect when you sit down to open up your Bible. Don't usually expect an angel to turn up or to fall into a trance. But at the same time, they're all things we, you know, we can learn and develop and grow in. And lots of the other ways are those that are, you know, I think we each will have a natural bent. We've all got a different personality, a different way that God's created us to be. And so all of us will have a way that is probably more prominent, that you will be most used to hearing God. But I just encourage you, you know, in talking about these things today, to start asking God to open up those other things, because we all have all of those senses. We do all dream, we do all. You know, and I think some of us get kind of locked in thinking, well, this is how I hear God, and so we only expect that. But just encourage you to ask God to grow you in some of these other in these other things. So how do we begin to listen? Because it's about growing and developing, but it's also about our confidence as well. I think lots of us do hear from God, but then we doubt it. You know, we hear that little voice, we get that impression. And so it is. It's a thing of growing in confidence. For years, I was part of Youth with a Mission over in Australia, and so one of their absolute DNA core sort of things is hearing God's voice. So it's kind of one of those teachings that was very easy to pull out. Got my YWAM hat on today. So they kind of talk about there being eight principles for hearing God's voice. And it isn't exclusive. There are other things that are really vital and important to this, but I think they're a really good set of things just to do life by, and that will increase your ability and your chances of hearing and believing you've heard from God. So the first one is the clean heart principle. We all know that sin separates us from God. And so if you want to hear from God and you've got a lot of sin going on, you're not going to do very well. It's like having cotton wool in your ears. It's not the gospel speaking. God will always speak to you. He loves you. He's calling to you every day. That's, you know, he wants to speak to us more than we want to hear. And that's what we need to remember, that it's not like we're begging him, please would you talk to me, please would you say something, because he is. He's already speaking. But it's positioning ourselves in a way that we will hear and believe. And so the clean heart principle is just about making sure that your heart is clean by giving the Holy Spirit time to convict you of anything. Because we've all got kind of, a whiteboard. They talk about the Johari window of this being kind of four areas in your life of the things that you see that nobody else sees, the things that you see and everyone else sees, the things that other people see but you don't see, and then the things that nobody sees but God. It's like these four kind of areas of your life. So you're always going to have things that you know. You know if you've told a lie. You know if you've done. But we've got other things going on in us because we're not perfect, because we're all broken people, because we're all being moved from glory to glory. And God's dealing with those things little by little. So it doesn't mean when you sit down and say, Holy Spirit, you want to show me something, he's going to go, right, well, he'll pull out this ginormous list of things that he wants you to deal with at that time. But I can guarantee that if you keep giving him that opportunity in his gentleness and in his love, he'll keep showing you the next little thing that he wants you to work on. The next little thing that's now a known thing. The things that are unknown, he's just keeping it. He'll bring it out bit by bit. But the bits that you do know about, they're the bits that become a problem because you're letting them fester. You're letting it be the wall that stops you and holds you back because you don't want to face it. I just want to speak into this because there's a couple of scriptures that talk about this. It says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. I don't think it's somebody who wouldn't have listened, but because he does hear us. He does. But he won't, in his love, he won't just, it's like, you know, when a kid's naughty, you've got to put that boundary in. You've got to make a consequence that allows them to recognize there's a problem so they can deal with it. And so it's just that, you know, it's not going to just carry on as if everything's normal because he doesn't want that to stay there. So it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. I think this is one of the hardest steps in the whole thing because so many of us don't trust in God's Father heart because we're all a bit wounded, because we've all got some abandonment issues, because we're all kind of a bit orphaned. And so we struggle to believe in the goodness of God. And I still struggle with this one. Even when I reread it again, I said, oh, I hate this one. You know, that sitting down and saying, oh God, is there anything that I need to deal with today? You're just waiting, oh no, what have I done? And I still do that, even though after 20, I've been doing this for 20 years, you'd think I would start to trust and believe that it's never been that bad. You know, it's okay, yeah, it might be a little uncomfortable, maybe I need to go to someone and ask them to forgive me for something, usually my husband, you know, they're the things, it's those little things, the little things of your daily life. It'd be a bit uncomfortable to go make right, go deal with it. It's so much better. And so I just, in doing this one, I just want to reiterate, I'm not speaking on the Father's heart today, but this is something we need to grasp and grow in so that we can come to him without fear, without shame and condemnation, knowing that he totally loves us. And whatever he says in that moment is only because of love. He wants to draw us closer. He doesn't want us to stay afar. So make that a regular thing. You know, as you sit down to pray, encourage you, make it a habit of doing that regularly. The next one is to acknowledge our dependence on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and ask God to be in control of his time by his Spirit. I think often we kind of skip through some of these things because it's like an assumption in our mind. Of course we're asking the Holy Spirit, you know, to lead this. But I think sometimes praying something out, speaking something out, and declaring it just helps us shift our thinking. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm listening to God, quite often something comes to mind, but then I'll think, oh, was that me? Or did I just, you know, I get easily distracted or easily convinced that maybe it wasn't or whatever. But I think if you start by declaring and saying, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to lead this, I'm asking you to guide it, I'm asking you to be fully in control of this time. It just does something in the dynamic of the spirit, but also your brain, just positioning yourself, allowing God, and asking him to be the one. So it says in John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears. So that's what we want. We want to be praying and hearing just what God wants. And also, I think this is a great verse that shows this as well, in Acts 16, 6 to 10. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging them, come over to Macedonia and help us. It just showed, every step along that way, it was the Holy Spirit said no to that. The Holy Spirit said, come over here. It was this such a clear leading. And that's what we want our lives to be like. Not just kind of bumbling through our day and then going, oh, actually, God, do you want to say something? It's like, imagine what our lives would be like if we actually let him lead and guide us and asked him to through every step of what we're doing. So the next one is dying to our own reasoning, imaginations, desires, and burdens of what you feel you should pray for. So I don't know about you, but I'm very good at turning up to any prayer time with a very, with a whole bunch of that stuff, with a whole idea of what God wants me to do, with a whole load of burdens for whatever I've seen going on, or my kids, or whatever it is. We turn up to God with all of that stuff kind of ready. This is what you want me to do, right? And oftentimes it's not. We need to just say, okay, right, I'm going to put this down here. God, what do you want to say to me? What do you want? It's like, and so again, even though this isn't, when we come to pray, it's just sometimes good to just speak these things out, to, say, God, I'm taking these things and I'm going to put them down. I'm going to lay them aside. What do you want to do? What do you want to speak about? And choosing, and particularly I think that one of speaking out that you're going to die to your own imaginations and reasoning. Because again, it's that thing of when things come to our mind, if you haven't done those little things, once again, your own thoughts are going to pop in. And it just helps to kind of keep things clearer, I think, and helps you to discern. Because there are always going to be three voices. There's three voices. You've got your own voice, which is very loud in your own head. You've got the voice of God quietly trying to come in. And then you've got a sneaky little voice of the enemy, which will be doing his best, usually, to distract or bring in lies or whatever it is. And so we need to learn to discern. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And then in Isaiah 55:8, it says, God is speaking here, that's what's going on. But my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And we need to remember that. We want his thoughts. We want his thoughts about it because ours will never compare. We need his ways because we usually come to him with a solution in mind. God, I know there's this problem, so this is probably what you want to do about it. We kind of want to pray in line with what we think should happen, and we need to step back from that and let him decide. Let him be God in whatever the situation is that you're praying for, or that burden that you're coming to him with, or whatever it is. Talked about the third voice being the enemy, so we also need to deal aggressively with the enemy. Getting up and shouting a little occasionally, you might feel you need to, but it's just acknowledging, again, there is an enemy out there. There is. Who speaks in various ways, whether it's, whatever it is, it's physical distractions going on, whether it's that voice in your mind. Usually it's just doubt, discouragement, lack of belief, all those things. It's just that slow, kind of wearing away of your faith or whatever it is. And so just taking that moment to say, I recognize that there is an enemy and I choose to silence you. You have no right to speak into this time and, just done with it. Because it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yeah, that's in James 4:7. And in 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Another thing that's, I think, you know, something we need to be regularly doing is just asking for the fear of the Lord. Now, by that, don't mean jumping to the other end of the spectrum and talk about God's Father heart. But we also do need to remember the majesty and the, you know, who God really is. It says in Proverbs 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You know, we want to be those who, I don't know, it's like you're not treating God lightly. Yes, he is our Father, and yes, he absolutely loves us, but there's that reverence that we need to have of who he is that will lead us into knowledge and into wisdom. Also praise. Once you've, you know, if you're kind of being through these things and you're sitting before God, sometimes people, you know, it's hard, like you're just suddenly sitting and just in quiet, our brains start to something go off in all directions. So regardless, start just praising, just by praising God for the time that he's going to give you. Praise him that he's a God who speaks. Praise him that he loves you and that he's got good things for you. He's got good plans for you. Because God will always do something that's consistent with his character. It says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? We know that no, he is faithful. And so whenever he speaks to you, you can come with faith, knowing that's the beginning. It's like a seed of life that's going to grow into something. So, you know, we're coming with expectancy, and that's what it's about. And the beginning to praise him helps you position yourself in that place of expectancy and start to speak up, yes, God, I know that you are a God who speaks. You're a God who loves me. You want to speak to me today, God. What do you want to say? It says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children's children. It's all about faith. It's about us declaring to our own spirits that the scriptures are true. It's about declaring that God's ability and desire to speak to us are greater than our level of sin or our inability to hear. And so praise helps to put us back in that place. And so then is the waiting. Just waiting in expectation, listening for his direction. In Psalm 62, verse 5, it says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. In Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in you. So we know from what we said before, that God speaks in different ways. Then each of us needs to spend time with God to know how he wants to speak to us. And what, you know, it's okay that might always be the same way for now, or you're just trying to figure it out. But the important thing is once you've heard something, to then in faith and obedience act on what he brings to mind, believing that he has spoken to you. Because it takes time to grow in confidence. It's one thing to hear, but it's another to believe that you got it right. And it does take time to rightly discern and interpret some of the things that God says. Because they're not always this clear, spoken thing. They might be a picture, they might be a sensation or whatever it is, and you're left trying to work out exactly what does that mean for you? What does that look like? What does God want you to do? And so that's where community is important, speaking to one another, you know, taking things, asking people to, you know, particularly if it's anything big. I'll say never, ever, when you're learning to hear from God, don't start trying to make big decisions, you know. If there's anything important you're asking God about, seek the counsel of others. Say, hey, I feel like God said this. What do you think? Would you pray? Would you ask God? Because it can be a very dangerous thing to hinge everything. You know, I've seen people completely you know, uproot their entire lives, sell their houses, do drastic things because they felt like God said it, but didn't seek counsel, didn't kind of run that by anyone else, and ended up so wounded and so broken because they felt like God had told them to do something that really went pear-shaped. So always, you know, doing that. But also scripture, whatever you hear from God, it's always going to line up with who God is. It's going to line up with his character. It's going to line up with his word. So that's the first place for you to take it. Does it line up with what God usually says? Because he's not a man that he would lie. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to say something to you that isn't the way he would usually speak or act and go against his nature. One of the best places to start when you learn to hear from God is really just to sit quietly, you know, go through these things, go through those principles, those steps, and then just sit with God. And one of the best questions to start asking is, God, how do you feel about me? You don't have to ask complicated questions. One of the most impacting and one of the most life-changing questions you can ask God is, how do you feel about me? Because when we start to see how he really sees us, when we start to feel how he really feels us, we'll be a changed person. And you can't really go too far wrong with that. You're not going to, you know, make some drastic decision. So just sit with God, go through these things, and then sit with a journal and try not to overanalyze, try not to overthink it. Just sit. And as things come to mind, just write. Don't try to read what you're writing or think too much about what you write. Just let it flow. Just let it flow as if it's a conversation. And only when you feel like you've come to the end of whatever's coming to mind, then stop. Then look at it. Is this what God is like? What does he say? You know, does it line up with who he is? And I think you'll find that God has some really nice things to say to you. So I do encourage you to begin with that. Or if you haven't done it for ages, maybe you have done it many times before, do it again. Do it again. Then do it over others, you know. Well, what do you think about this person? And tell you what, one of the best things to do is if it's someone you're struggling with. If you sit with God and you say, oh, okay, God, I'm kind of struggling with this person, how do you feel about them? What do you want to say about them? And you get his download, you get his heart, he'll help you. It helps us shift to start to see them in a different light. Same with circumstances. Ask him what he feels about our struggles, about our fears. And don't make decisions without him. Start to include him in all the big things and the little things. If we let God speak into every area of our lives, can you imagine what our lives would be like? Can you imagine what the world would be like if we actually lived this out on a constant day-by-day basis? Because if our prayer life wasn't just us praying our own thoughts and our own desires, if we were actually starting to just, you know, pray in that place of speaking out and releasing God's word, the things that he wants to do, his plans, how many of your prayers will be answered? So, and I'm sure that many of us have received prayer, maybe at the end of a service. You've been given a word from God just for you. You know, how much did that impact you? How much did that build you up? And we don't need to wait for prayer services to do things like that. We can be doing that on a daily basis with people we meet. They can be friends, they can be family, they could be strangers. It's for the strangers, it will bless them even more because they're so unexpected. There are so many ways that life would be different if we would tune in. There's so many, you know, I don't know if you've heard of people doing evangelism, they call it, you know, treasure hunts, where they'll literally sit together and ask, oh, okay, we're going to go out and pray for people today on the streets. God, would you give us clues? And so they'll sit and they'll ask God, right, tell us about people that we're going to meet. And so they write down, okay, a guy with a green hat, guy riding on a bike, going past this. And they'll write down these details that they feel God is giving them about people out there, maybe words for them. And then they go out, guess what? Do you know how impactful that is? When you can go up to some random stranger and say, hey, we were praying back at our church. God said there was going to be a guy here today. Look, this is my favorite, you know, with these details, this is what God wants. would you like me to pray for you today? Do you think they want to listen? Do you think that they're going to receive what you say? Because I can tell you now that they will.
Yes.
And it changes the dynamic from us just moving in our own strength to us moving from that place of the Spirit being free to do what He wants to do, to bless people, to change people. I just heard this week about a guy, Dan McCollum, who is part of Bethel Church. He set up as part of one of the guys that served the School of Prophetic there. And I didn't know, but he has a team of guys that of people that they pray together, and what they're doing is they're asking God to show them to help solve crimes, to find missing people. You know, why are we doing things like that as a normal part of our lives? We have the ability to ask God, and He's everywhere, He's doing, you know, we just kind of bumble along as if we've just got this, it's almost just little old me. But we're not, you know. They found, I think it's over 60 people. 60 people that have been missing for, we're talking years and years for some of these people. You know, all sorts of situations that have been found because God has spoken. And they, you know, they're working with the police and these people are being found. These cases are being solved because of prayer, because of people listening to God's voice. How incredible is that? You know, when we're just, you know, bumbling along in our little lives. But we're called to be the ecclesia. Totally going on the time here, so I'll finish, honestly. In fact, do you want to come up and then I'll just wrap up? When I spoke last, I talked about us being the ecclesia, which means the called out people. God's called out people from the world. But when Jesus said it, I talked about the fact that what it would have meant to the people in that day was to the Greeks that the ecclesia was an assembly of people set apart to govern the affairs of a state or nation. And so the Romans and the group of people sent into a conquered region, such as Judea, to alter culture until it became like Rome. And they were given authority to act in the name of the emperor. And they infiltrated every sphere of society so that everyone would be walking and talking just like a Roman. That's our job description, to be changing culture in every sphere of society. So that it looks like heaven on earth. Yeah. So that God's kingdom will be here on earth. Do you want me, Father?
Amen.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So are you ready to see kingdom culture come in your home, and in your friends, and your family, and in Berwick, and in the nation? Yeah. It all starts with just hearing God's voice. Mm-hmm.